stated by the people of Israel. It was stated by a bunch of scribes and Pharisees. They wanted to see Jesus crucified at the very best, at the very worst, but they had to have official permission from the governor, who at that time was Pontius Pilate. And so, can you still hear me back there? I'm going to ask you from time to time. If I see you nodding off, I'll know you've been lying to me. Now, these people were strictly mad at Jesus and all he had ever taught. They were just total unbelievers, total. Now, and the voices of them, now notice, those who were there crying, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. So he was crucified by his own people. Now, Pilate didn't have to give his permission, but he did, because this is about the third time he asked, what did this man do wrong? And it was the customary at this particular time of the feast to give a man freedom. And when the man received the freedom, he was set free. So Pilate had told him three times, let him go. He didn't do anything wrong. Well, the Jews were very adamant about it. So when you think about the Jews and why they're over there right now, and they don't believe he's the Messiah, you still got a lot of scribes and Pharisees over there. And the scribes and Pharisees over there, they literally run the country. Now, you've got some people that I like over there very much that they're not believers, but they're good soldiers. And so I spent a lot of time over there with them, and I understand the country quite well. Now, Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them that for sedition and murder, sedition is about as bad as you can get. Murder is the same, basically. And murder was cast into prison. There was someone that they wanted delivered. And he said, okay, we have to deliver somebody. So he said, we'll deliver this man who's guilty of sedition and murder. And he was cast into prison. And Jesus was. But he delivered Jesus to their will. They wanted Christ crucified. They didn't want any part of him. You say, are there people like that today in this country? We're loaded with them. And every time you click on your television and you start watching that, you see people that hate Jesus. And there'd be a lot more on them if we didn't have some degree of protection. But the Bible indicates that in the last days, the church is going to be tremendously persecuted. The Bible also indicates that Jesus was cut off in the midst of Daniel's last week. He finished a little over 3 years of his ministry, Jesus' ministry, and so it leaves the Jewish nation and it leaves us with Jesus a little over 4 years to finish the tribulation period. Everybody thinks everything's going to get okay again. And they're right, it will. You're going to have people that everything will settle down. Many people don't think it will. It will. The Bible indicates it will. You're not going to see what's known as the rapture until after Israel attacks Lebanon. The border of Lebanon and Syria, when Benjamin Netanyahu, the ruler in Israel, when he attacks across his northern border, Israel is the king of the south, and the Antichrist will be the king of the north. You say, how long away is that? I don't know. If you knew the tribulation period, you're like me. Probably some of you are worse. That's hard to believe, but you're a lot like me. If you knew the exact day that the rapture is going to occur, you'd get your little time schedule up there in the time of your head, and you'd say, well, I've got so long, I've got this long, I've got that long. I can't tell you when the rapture is going to occur because I don't know when Israel is going to attack across the northern border. You say, well, they've done that many times, Brother Michael Murray, and every cotton-picking time they've done it, if you'll remember, I've told you, this is not it. This is not it. This is not it. Next time they go across it, that'll be it. You say, well, how long have we got to go? Well, Jesus was cut off in the middle of trying to fulfill Daniel's last week. Daniel's 70 weeks of years. So it's not going to happen right away. You say, well, why are you telling us that? It's a good deal for you. You'll have more time to follow him, do what he wants, than you're probably doing now. You say, how dare you accuse us of us? Well, how dare I not do it? You're human beings. You want to stay here with those grandkids? You want to stay here with everybody like that? And you'd like to stick around down here for a while. Wouldn't you, Ken? You don't know how to answer that, do you? You ain't, because you it's a trick question.
Yes, it is.
I'm not going to ask you any more trick questions.
Amen.
So they led him away. So as they led him away, they laid hold upon Simon, a Cyrenian. Now, people say he was a black man. What difference does that make? I will tell you that they were in Cyrenia. They were dark-complected. They had very dark brown skins. But what I went over and I did lectures all over Africa. And I went to this one place and we had them walk for miles to come to these lectures. And they loved them. I loved doing every one of them over there. They were as black as the ace of spades. But they had one guy in there that was brown. Guess what all the blacks called him? Brownie. They all called him Brownie. And he was brown. He came from up in Ethiopia. And they kidded him all the time and called him Brownie. But they loved the lectures. They just loved them. You say, I can't believe that. Well, you better believe it. I was surprised too. But that they asked me to come over and do them, and I did them. And we've been supporting that mission work for a long time. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And they led him away and laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. You say, well, now wait a minute. Why couldn't Jesus bear it? If you'd have been as beat up as he was, you'd say, well, whose idea was it? I think it was God's idea because Jesus was physically beaten to a pulp. You say, well, why am I telling you that? He did it for me. He did it for you. It was a personal thing he did for us. You say, well, what do y'all preach here at this church? We preach that we are the children of God and that we believe God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we believe he left a detailed way for us to worship. And I think I can speak for all. We believe he's the only righteousness we've got. And the Bible teaches that very plainly, but a lot of people don't want to believe it. You say, well, that's new teaching. No, that's old teaching that people just naturally killed. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus turning and said unto them, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and paps which never give suck. Most people simply do not believe that we're going to have to go through any part of the tribulation period. This church, or I can't speak for the whole church, but I do. And I think that it's going to be a little while before Israel attacks. You say, well, you ought to pay attention to what's going on right now with all this shifting back and forth in Washington. You may have, nobody's going to get married up there. After you get up there, you're not going to get married anymore. And that might be a good thing, because I don't expect a whole lot of preachers to be up there. And so it's something you ought to think about. And the truth of the matter is, when the Lord takes us out of here, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have some soot on their face, because this stuff is not going to be in the next few months. What's going on right now, that's going on, has been going on down in the Caribbean, down in the Gulf of Mexico. Can you still hear me back there? Okay, if you start going to sleep, I'm going to say, how do I know you're not all going to hell? How was that? Was that loud enough? Okay, but I get lectures when I get home. Now, and the paps that never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? A green tree was when all the fruit was on it. They had the summer crops. And it was a green tree, and everything was just looking really good. You say, well, stuff hadn't been looking very good lately. You wait till that tribulation period starts. You're going to think we've been in a paradise. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. It used to bother me because people didn't believe it, but they crucified Jesus for it, so why in the world should I worry? They cut off John the Baptist's head, and so why should I worry about it? You say, well, you mean you're happy right now? Yes, I'm happy. You say, why are you happy? Well, I'm happy. You say, well, why is that? The Bible said, blessed are they whose faith, but blessed are they who have little faith, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, well, my goodness, you must think you're going to heaven. Amen. You say, how do you know that? I know that for certain because I don't have a faith that could save me. My faith is weak. You say, well, who's going to heaven? Those who believe that that the power of God is the only way you can get saved. What did Jesus say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, if you've got poor spirit, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because he said, God said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You say, well, I don't believe that. I doubt if you're going to heaven. You say, well, why do you believe that? Because he took my sins in his own body on the tree. That's why. Because he died for me. And because I'm a bondservant. What's a bondservant? It's somebody that they say is a slave. You say, you don't want to be a slave in heaven. You've been set free. If he took all my sins, I certainly have been set free for the penalty of it. But the truth of the matter is, I'm going to heaven because all my faith is in Jesus Christ, and it's not in myself in any way. And this church teaches that the church is to be conducted in a way. You say, well, you mean you didn't do anything to save yourself? I hope not. You say, well, how'd you learn that? The Lord taught me. You say, well, I don't want to learn it. If you want to come and talk to me, I'll be glad to show you why I know I'm going to heaven. You said, well, what are you now, perfect? No, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You say, well, what did the grace entail? The grace entailed this. God saved me by grace. And then, after I was saved by grace, believe it or not, he taught me that I'm helpless. And after he taught me that if I had my faith in Jesus, I was going to heaven. You say, well, come on now, I trust Jesus, am I going to heaven? Well, are you worshiping Him in spirit and truth? You say, well, all of our churches, I wouldn't count on getting married in heaven because the Bible indicates you're not going to get married up there. But another reason is there may not be a whole lot of preachers up there. You say, well, goodness gracious, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. Well, it may be the craziest thing you ever heard, but I don't expect a lot of preachers to be up there because a lot of preachers aren't preaching the truth. You say, well, how do you know we are? Well, come on long enough and you'll listen to me and you'll either decide I am and I'm not. You say, well, what about our money? You want us to send us offerings? We don't want your money. If you want to give it to God, go ahead and give it. Please do. You say, what will we do with it? We'll send it to missionaries. You say, well, what's wrong with you? Well, I tell you what, if you can watch in television and you think that mess is ever going to straighten itself out, you're not going to believe much of anything. But it's not going to end until after, A-F-T-E-R, Israel attacks across the northern border of its northern border. Israel is the king of the south. You say, well, I never heard that before. Well, if you'd have been around about 2,000 years ago, you'd have heard it a lot because that's what the Bible teaches. You say, well, we want to concentrate on what's going on over there right now. It's a distraction. Anyway, and there were two other malefactors led with him to put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, and they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said Jesus, listen to what he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think that fits me pretty well, and I think it fits everybody else on this planet. He said, they said, and what they do? And they parted his raiment and cast lots for it. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. You ever taste, they do some refining on the vinegar here, but that stuff that they made over there back then, you can't imagine what it tasted like. In all my travels around, they would take me to homes to eat, and believe me, I have tasted some pretty horrible stuff. You say, oh my goodness, they're going to hear about it. Well, I'm not ever going to be able to go back again, so what are they going to do to me? And I remember one time I went to this one place and they bragged and bragged and bragged on this one thing this woman made, and I went over there and it was absolutely horrible. You say, well, that wasn't her fault. I know it wasn't her fault. She did the best she could, and I'm not going to tell you her name, but anyway. And the soldiers mocked him, coming to him, offering vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. That way it was heard. Eventually it got preached all over the world because Latin was the language that was used a lot. Hebrew was used there in Greece. And Latin was used in a worldwide way in that matter and time. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which was hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and others. Now, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and others. That's exactly what the scribes and Pharisees said. Not going to be a whole lot of preachers in heaven, because they have really distorted what Jesus taught, and they've given people's ears what they want to hear, and they've made it easy to be saved, just repeat after me and I'll take you to heaven. And they've made it so easy it's pathetic. You got so many tares in churches that they're tares. The Lord said he was going to leave them there until he plucked them off at the end because they grow right onto the stalk of the corn, and they're not real. They are not wheat. But the other answered him, rebuked, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the reward of our deeds." One of them said, "We're guilty." The other one said, "If you be the Christ, get us off this cross." But he told this other guy, he said, "But this man hath done nothing amiss." I have a relative, to be specific, my brother, who I love. I pray for all the time. He doesn't believe there's a devil. He's a Christadelphian. I love him very much. I pray all the time about it. But I don't believe that Jesus ever sinned. I don't believe he ever sinned in any case or stretch of the imagination. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Verily I say unto you, this is what Jesus answered, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Right then, that day. You say, well, when we finally are caught out of here at what you call the rapture, I don't really like the rapture expression, but that's okay. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Look at when it happens. Just look at when it happens and look, it goes boom, boom, boom in one day. On a single day. You say, well, are you going to tell us when it happens? No, if I told you when it happened, you'd be real good until when it got real close. You say, we would never do that. I probably would. Anyway, the truth of the matter is, after you get saved, you're still totally depraved. It's your soul that's sealed and saved eternally. Page 2, Revelation 6:16-8:3. This is a preview that was given of what it was going to be like during the tribulation period. This is the very last of it. So we're going to start in Revelation 6:16-8:3. "And said to the mountains, fall on us." This is a preview of what it's going to be like. "And hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. And who shall be able to stand? And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, north, east, south, and west. They did this, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." Notice who he says will do this, and then later on you'll understand why he does it. "And I saw another angel," here's another angel, "ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God." This angel is pretty special. "And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard another of them which were sealed, and I heard another, the number of which were sealed. There were sealed 144,000. Now notice where they come from. From all the tribes of the children of Israel, of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, remember he had two sons. And remember that Judas Iscariot at this particular time has already been disposed of. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And this I behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell upon the throne, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God. That's very interesting, isn't it? That's very interesting. Now, you're going to go through part of the tribulation period. You don't, many of you don't believe that. Well, don't hate me for this, because when you get in it, it'll be a great pleasure to you, because you'll know that you got through it and God's going to get you through the rest of it. Saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come thou? He gave him an answer. And if you'd have been clever, if I'd have been clever, I would have given him the same answer. He said, And I said unto him, that is John, thou knowest. He said, You know. You know, I watched a guy today on television, and he said, You know, about 40 times when he was trying to sell something, you know. And most of them didn't have any idea what he was talking about. That's a habit some people have. But John, he didn't have any idea. These are they which are come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You scared of the tribulation period? You don't want to suffer any pain? You don't want anything bad to happen to you? You say, God would not allow that to happen. You say, Well, are you making fun of me? No, I'm not. I'm telling you, I don't expect some of you to believe this, but I'm telling you, when it happens, you'll believe it. You say, Well, what good will it do me then? Then you'll know that it was the truth, and God will give you strength to get through it. In the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, the conclusion, therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the light sun shine on them. Why? Because why do you think Jesus is the light of the world? Why do you think he's called light, 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 light? Why do you think you can't look upon his face? Why do you think nobody's ever seen his face? The glory of God is so bright, it's much shinier than the sun. And you can't look upon the sun except for just a few minutes or seconds. Neither shall the light shine on them, nor any heat. You say, Well, I'd get tired just sitting around. No, you wouldn't. Because God, that's a big city in heaven. It's a big heaven. And I'm going to roll around heaven all day. You say, What are you going to do? Well, when I was first started studying the Bible, I thought I'd be with my sweet Imogene. I'd be with her every day and every night. Is that what you want? Yes, that's what I want. But that may not happen. I'm a bondsman. I'm bonded. I'm bought with a price. Jesus gave his own life for me personally. I'm a bondservant to God. And if that's not what God wants, I want what God wants. God prayed three times and asked that this cup to be removed from him. I'm certainly not the Lord. But he begged three times, and the Lord wouldn't remove it. I don't expect to get what I want in heaven. I expect to get what God wants me to have. I expect to have a whole new life, a whole new way of life. I will like it better than anything I could ever possibly have imagined. What's the greatest thing you can ever imagine? Being up there with Imogene. You don't know how good a wife she was. God gave her to me. Being up there with my children. You don't know what that would mean to me, too. But if God's got something else for me to do, he doesn't need me. But he'll sure bless me if I can be a servant up there. And shall lead them into living fountains of waters. And God shall wake away all tears from their eyes. If my dad's not up there, I probably won't remember him. You say, no, you'll just have to wait, go through heaven and know your dad's in hell. I don't think so. You say, well, I'd want to remember my dad. I want to remember who God wants me to remember. I want to do what God wants me to do because I'm a bondservant. And a bondservant is pretty close to what you call a freed slave. They're free to serve God. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an hour and a half. You don't know how long that is, do you? I don't either. You say, well, why are you telling us that? That's why God put it in there. I know about a time being a year, times being 2 years, and half a time being a half a year. I know all that. I've looked at a lot of things, but I don't know how they keep time in heaven. You say, well, they do it just like we do down here. How do you know that? That's why I can't tell you when the rapture is going to occur. I don't know how they keep time in heaven. I don't know what a half an hour is to God. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood by the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense. Incense is a beautiful smelling thing. You know where it says God smelled a sweet savor? Well, this is much. That he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Where do you plan to live for eternity? What do you plan to do in eternity? How much do you know about eternity? You learn as God teaches you. I tell you how I know where I'm going to be. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's me. You say, God made me mighty in spirit. No, he didn't. God did not make you mighty in spirit. You say, well, I watch those preachers on television and they're mighty in the spirit. Yay! You know what God taught me after he called me? He taught me what I am. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. No, that's not right. Everybody I know says you've got to be great in spirit. The only reason I'm great in spirit is because God is great in spirit. You know what he said? Did you know what he said? He said, all power in heaven and in earth, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. You know why I'm going to heaven? Because he taught me that I was poor in spirit. And when he taught me that, I had been listening to all this stuff people kept putting out about God will give you great power. And some of you will leave here and probably keep right on believing it. God has all the power in heaven. He said so, point blank. He said, all power in heaven is given unto me. You say, no, that's God. Who do you think Jesus is? Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Then they started trying to stone him to death. I'm going to heaven. Not because of anything I've ever done, but because of what he did. Now, I hope if you've disagreed with this, you'll think about it. I hope you'll think he might be right. I sure wouldn't be presenting it if I didn't think it was right. Because in places in the Bible it says that it would better for him never have been born than to mislead one of these little ones. That's what it says. And I'm afraid a lot of little children which go through the age of accountability. I preached in a nursing home for years, and for free. They had four different levels of intelligence. One level I couldn't do any good with. The other three I worked with, had regular services. Then I went back and preached at my home church on Sunday. And those kids loved me to death, because they had the love of God in them. It was sweet and it was innocent, trusting. And over the time, I learned something about myself. You're self-centered. You're self-serving. You love attention. And finally, God taught me, you're right. And finally, I began to teach, and I didn't do it for attention. I did it because I have a rubbing in of the Spirit. Oh, I don't speak in tongues or any of that, but I have a rubbing in of the Spirit. And I've learned that God knows best. So if I don't get to see Dad up there, I'll miss him. Maybe I won't even think about him. You say, I want to think about him. I want to do what God wants. Why? Because I'm a bondsman. I'm a freed servant. And I chose to serve him forever. And I get there, I just want to do what he wants. You say, boy, forever is a long time. What about you? What about your children? You say, well, I want my children to go to heaven. Do you know what the problem is in some of our churches? The parents want to get the child saved quick. Get him saved quick. Send him to camp. And get him saved quick. And they get saved quick. And then they go back to the home church. And once they're saved, the parents, they don't worry about them anymore. They're going to heaven. Some of the parents may not go to heaven. You say, this is serious, isn't it? It's very serious. Keep coming back here and listening. You may not agree with it, but I guarantee you there are some preachers in this church that do. And we've got several of them that can tell you about this. Anyway, look at that. 1 minute to go, Chuck. You ought to dismiss us.